It is a magnificent Monday. It is You Better You Bet. It's Nick Costos. It's Ken Barkley. It's you here with us on the BetQL Network, simulcast for the next 2 hours by our friends at Stadium, and it's going to be a badass 2 hours of wagertainment coming your way. 20 minutes from now, Eric Eager from Sumer Sports, one of our absolute favorites, stops by talking all things NFL draft, and if things are going to get haywire, how's it going to get haywire? And can we profit off of it? And how? Eric Eager joins us in 20 minutes. Ken and I will roll through kind of the same topic 40 minutes from now. If the consensus top 10 is flipped upside down, how is it going to happen? What are some potential bets we can place as a result? That's coming up in 40 minutes. Next hour on the show, we get back to the NBA postseason. We did a lot of NBA postseason in the first hour, including like how to bet the Denver Nuggets to win the NBA title, if you still like Denver to win the championship. And really, how could you not? Search You Bet wherever you find your podcast if you want to check it out. We'll get to a lot of the other series in the NBA postseason, how we're viewing some of these game twos, how we're viewing the series moving forward, and the whale capper Drew Dinsick will join us as well from NBC Sports. All our bets for tonight coming up in the final hour, the power hour of the show, and we'll touch on the NHL postseason as well from the weekend. But joining us right now to kick off the fun and frivolity in our stadium 2 hours, joining us live from the road on assignment right now is our good friend Adam Chernoff, and it's been a while since we welcomed Chern to the show, so it's great to welcome him back here to You Better You Bet. Chern does an awesome job for our friends over at Right Angle Sports, has a great NFL newsletter that you can subscribe to over at his Twitter account at Adam Chernoff and adamchernoff.com. Chern, welcome back to You Better You Bet. It's Nick and Ken. How's it going?
Going well, guys. Thanks for having me. Hopefully the sound quality holds up here on the move, but good to be chatting draft with you. It's a fun week ahead for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. NFL draft. Nick and I did a ton of NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs too. Adam, you sound totally fine, by the way. Sound great, actually. Hopefully having a fun trip where you are. And I just want to ask you before we get into like specific bets or, you know, I know you have a mock draft, I think, that you were promoting, and you can do that here as well, obviously. Just, I feel like every year that goes by, I start to kind of be like, is this the point where betting the draft stops being like a good idea, whether it's because of misinformation or lack of information on like the team side or like the betting markets? Maybe they're like just sharp enough. Maybe the limits are too low to do anything. Like, it's just every year I kind of question it. And then I'm kind of like, I guess it's still pretty good. Like, how confident are you that like you can have a good draft this year with everything that's going on?
Not high, and I say that because Nick hinted at a consensus top 10. I don't think there is a consensus top 10. I think we know pretty well like which players are going to fall in that, but the order and which they might go is incredibly hard to predict because of this Minnesota possibly trading up, because of the Chargers wanting to go back. It's really, really hard, and all of those scenarios are going to kind of impact what we see basically from picks 6 to 16 or 17, and that could just throw everything off. And so I think what we've seen is the really good stuff has got to kind of the premium price that you typically get to this week. It's got to that point earlier, and now we have a couple things that could really shake things up and really push a lot of defensive guys down the board. So it's not a very high level of confidence that you're going to have a slam dunk draft this year like it has been in recent years.
All right, Chern, well, you mentioned picks 6 through 16 may be getting a little haywire, which leads me to believe, and I'll give you the opportunity to say whether this is true or not, that you kind of like fall in line with what a lot of people are thinking about like picks 1 through 5. Like, Caleb Williams is going to be the first overall pick. I think that's the one thing we're all pretty certain about. So Caleb going to go number 1. I'm guessing you think it'll be some combo, Jaden Daniels and Drake May going 2 and 3. Maybe you like Daniels. He's the betting favorite right now. Daniels goes second. Drake May goes third. Marvin Harrison goes 4th overall to the Arizona Cardinals. And then maybe that's where the Minnesota Vikings go up to 5 with the LA Chargers to go get their quarterback, presumably going to be J.J. McCarthy, before my New York Football Giants go on the clock at number 6 overall. And then 6 through 16 is where you said you could see things maybe start to get crazy. Do you think that's going to be the top 5 in some way, shape, or form, what I just laid out? Maybe it's May 2nd and Daniels 3rd. Maybe it's Neighbors 4th instead of Harrison. But you think that that's how the top 5 is going to play out, Adam?
I do. I think it's Williams, May, Daniels, and then again from there. It's. I don't think that we see a scenario where Arizona has to trade back because they have so many picks and because they really want Marvin Harrison based on everything that we've heard. It really becomes a question of, does Minnesota come up for a QB? If they do, I think they probably want to get to five, because we've seen Harbaugh for the Chargers says, come on, make us an offer and make it good. And they'll move back. And then we know the Chargers want to go offensive lineman. And then, Nick, I think we see Neighbors go to your Giants at six. And from there, depending on whether or not we see the Vikings trade, that's where things get really interesting.
Adam, I have to ask you before we get to we keep like putting off the most interesting part of the draft, I guess. But I mean, I'm sure some people raise their eyebrows when you kind of casually go like, well, I have May 2nd, because if you look at the betting markets right now, and I know these have been moving back and forth and kind of fast and furious with Daniels got out to a big favorite to be the second overall pick. There was a ton of interest in Drake May. Things got back to, I think Circa was dealing minus 110 each way about 48 hours ago on who the second overall pick was going to be. Now we're back out to Daniels being a big favorite again. Just like, you don't have to kind of share everything. Just maybe a little bit on what goes into like your thought process as you put together your mock, like a little bit of information, I'm guessing, a little bit of opinion as to why you would have Drake May going second, despite the fact that Daniels is the favorite in that market to go second overall.
Well, Adam Peters, GM for Washington, has intentionally leaked nothing. Like, that's something that has been a stance that he has taken long before he got to Washington and his previous stops along the way. And so to me, everything that has shifted this from our original stance that we were sort of force fed from all the draft analysts and people who were looking at this back in March and February was that May was going to be the best fit to go number two. And anything that has moved it from that, to me, has been speculation. I've watched and read a lot about the draft, and the one team that really stands out as giving us nothing has been Washington at two. And so, to me, this has been quite a big rise for Daniels. I'm under the sort of assumption, based on what we've seen and what we have not heard from Washington, that that's still holding, that May is going to be their guy at two. Again, it's not like a team source or anything I have that's breaking news. I'm just like, I don't see a lot other than speculative reports that are making me think that that is going to change. And so that's really the long and short of why I've been hanging on to May at two.
Adam Chernoff is with us right now from Right Angle Sports. His website, adamchernoff.com, is a great NFL betting newsletter that you can subscribe to on his Twitter account, at Adam Chernoff. Chern's going to release his mock draft, just promoted this on his Twitter feed. Going to have a Twitter Spaces on Tuesday. People can check that out if they are so inclined. If it's true, Adam, and I'm going to ask Eric Eager this question next segment, Ken and I will talk about it later this hour. If it's true that Adam Peters has leaked nothing to the media, so the idea that everyone thinks it's going to be Jaden Daniels, let's kind of like play against that, right? And this is not me like setting, like you could legitimately think for good reasons that it would be Drake May. I guess my question would be, if we don't know anything, is it possible that it's just J.J. McCarthy and he's the pick at number two? You get a better price there at 12-1. So like Ken said, like if you've got like information that you think it's going to be May, you can share that. You don't have to share that. But that's kind of, I'm operating like, if this is going to get nuts, how nuts can it get in my best George Costanza voice? If we don't know anything, why can't McCarthy just be the second pick at a longer price?
It could happen. I don't think anybody can confidently say they know anything about what is going to happen with Washington, because we just haven't heard anything. Now, if McCarthy goes two, that brings up a big question of what happens at three. I think there's confidence the Pats stick and take a guy, but the presumption has been that it's going to be whoever's left between May and Daniels. Now, if McCarthy goes two, that really changes things, because we have a pretty good clip from Daniel Jeremiah, who's locked in with Bucky Brooks on his podcast, saying the Vikings really want to make a run at May. Now, it was thought that number two for May was too expensive. But then, like, does that open up May at three? Does that mean that they want to get ahead of anybody else trying to jump up, like a Denver or L.A.? Like, that makes it really interesting. So if McCarthy goes two, then we have just a complete mess here in the top 10.
I got to be honest, as someone with, like, no bets yet on the NFL draft, I'm kind of hoping for anything like that. Everything you just said, let's get nuts. Like, let's get really weird. Since I'm not like trying to like hold on to some CLV on Jaden Daniels as the second pick or something like that. I think we can finally get to maybe like crazy town, which would be like after the sixth overall pick or 6-16, kind of how you see it playing out. You mentioned all the trades. I mean, we spent a lot of time being like, well, if this team trades here and McCarthy gets here and this, like, that sets up the next 10. And, you know, there are some guys that are pens. I mean, how many times have I seen Brock Bowers go to the Jets at 10? We don't know if they're picking 10, and we don't know if they're picking Bowers, yet that's like the pick every single time because of all the things that you've been talking about. So give me like a couple things, like some wrenches that could be thrown into this. How could pick 6-16 get really, really weird in your opinion?
So seven could get weird because the Titans would go wide receiver instead of Joe Alt, who's penciled in at seven and even in pen by almost every draft analyst. But I find it hard to ignore hearing the GM and the head coach, who's newly in that position, both at the combine, saying if all things are equal, they would prefer the guy that can score points at number seven rather than the offensive lineman. Like, that exact question was posed to both of them, and they hinted wide receiver. So I think that could get messy at seven. We could potentially see Atlanta elect not to go edge at eight, or if they do, you could see a guy like Latu, now that he's medically cleared, go number eight. I think that's an interesting first defensive player off the board pick, around plus 225 currently. And then, like you mentioned with Bowers, like, I've seen Bowers go anywhere from 7 to 15 in mocks that have been posted in the last 24 hours. I don't think, as much as I would like it to happen, that Bowers goes to the Jets. I think Jets offensive lineman at plus 120 is still the bet that I would make at the current prices, because they really desperately need O-line depth that they just haven't had. And there's going to be plenty of opportunities in later rounds to add on different wide receivers. And so I don't think that Alt is as guaranteed as it is seemingly being at seven. I don't think Bowers is nearly as guaranteed as it's made out to be at number 10 as well. So I think Jets O-line, of all those things that I just mentioned, would be the look that I like the most. But let's see what Tennessee does at seven, because again, it's just really hard to ignore what the coach and GM have said about a wide receiver there.
I agree with a lot of what Adam Chernoff just said. Ken and I will talk about it a little later in the show. From 6 to 16, Chern, there's been a lot of chatter recently, especially as it concerns Michael Penix. Like, not as much about Bo Nix, but specifically about Penix, including, you know, Diana Rossini like tweeting today that GMs have told her that, like, Michael Penix is the best-kept secret in the draft. It's just like, if I'm Diana, I would tweet that also. Just like, what does that mean? And, like, why do people think, like, she's getting pieces of information like
not
that?
Anymore, he's not. Can't be the best-kept secret anymore.
It's, like, insane. And just to be clear, it's not a shot at Diana Rossini. Just, no. I would do the same thing if I were her. What are you thinking, Chern, if, like, we think it is a lock that at the very least those top four quarterbacks will be selected at least in the first round, if not in the top 10, on Penix and Nix going on Thursday as opposed to Friday? We have about 60 seconds for the answer.
No, I'll make it simple. I think they both go on Friday. I think that the sentiment around Penix is interesting. Is there a chance the Raiders trade way back late in round one? Maybe. I think both guys go on Friday, though. So I get the hype and I get the sentiment around it, but I think we see four quarterbacks on Thursday and anybody else is going Friday.
So, Adam, we can close with this then, because that's a good answer, obviously. And look, 4.5 quarterbacks has been starting to get reduced way to the over with the idea one of those guys is going to get drafted. The Penix draft position market's really funny, too. It's like 32.5, but started to be some interesting movement on that. In like 60 seconds to close here, anything else about the first round that you think is interesting? I know a lot of people have started betting like long shot players to get drafted in the first round, some of the receivers at the bottom, positional stuff. Anything else that you think is interesting in the first round in, let's say, 45 to 60 seconds?
Yeah, I'm pretty adamant on defensive players over 10.5. And the reason I say that is because I think there's going to be such a run on these premium O-line and wide receivers in the first like 12 picks that we're going to see a lot of these very highly rated defensive players remain high and available on a lot of these boards for teams. And we might end up seeing teams in the mid to high 20s and even the low 30s see some of these defensive guys on the board and end up trading up into the high teens. And so I think because there's so many wide receivers that are going to be highly rated on day two, we see a premium on defensive guys late on Thursday. So that over 10.5 for defensive players is a bet I like. I think realistically, when you're looking at it, there could be as many as 13 on day one. I think 11 is the number that comes through. But I mean, you're looking at 8 or 9 guys that are priced very high, like minus 600 and up to go day one. Then you have all these fringe guys that are minus 250, minus 300 that gets you to like 12 or 13 guys that could potentially go. So I think defensive players over 10.5 would be kind of my stance with a lot of these teams late on Thursday. Looking defense just because of who ends up sliding.
Chern is on Twitter, at Adam Chernoff. People can check out adamchernoff.com and subscribe to his newsletter, the Right Angle Sports app, a mock draft being released soon from our pal Adam Chernoff. Chern, we sincerely appreciate the time. Safe travels, good luck with the NFL draft bets, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks very much, guys. Enjoy the busy week.
That was a nice little surprise there from our guy Adam Chertoff. Like, like we are going to have like some really interesting conversations a little later in the show, and an interesting conversation coming up next on the NFL Draft with the great Eric Eager from Sumer Sports. The show rolls on right after this.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.
So fourth and goal for USC. Trips right, Rice single man to the left. Williams in the gun, Jones remains to his left side. Play clock is at 11. Williams motions out to his right. Washington in short motion from that side. Here's the snap. Williams back, throws left. This one is caught for the touchdown. Brendan Rice. They went right back to the back shoulder throw. This time, Rice snatches it in and scores.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
Ryan Radke with the call this past college football season on Westwood One. I think the only thing that we can feel really confident in happening in the NFL draft is that Caleb Williams is going to be the first overall pick. I was like running through jokes in my head. I was like, none of these are appropriate right now. I need to workshop these a little bit before I say them on the air. Because like they were going to be really funny, but I don't know if they would have been good to say out loud. So the one thing we can feel really good about, Caleb Williams will be the first overall pick to the Chicago Bears. But then what happens? Eric Eager from Sumer Sports will join us in just a moment to talk about all things NFL draft. We'll ask him about Zach Wilson as well. But Ken and I will give you our thoughts on the upcoming NFL draft. And again, things are going to get nuts. How nuts are they going to get in our best George Costanza voice? We will get back to the NBA next hour on the show, running through all the series in the postseason. Ken has got some big picture stuff as well, how to bet the NBA playoffs. That's coming up next hour. Drew Dinsick coming up next hour. Final hour, Power Hour features all our bets for tonight. But right now, the aforementioned Eric Eager from Sumer Sports. You like the NFL? Honestly, you just like football, because he tweets a lot about spring football. God bless his soul. You need to be following Eric on Twitter, at Eric Eager _ the Sumer Sports Football Show with Eric and former Falcons general manager Thomas Dimitroff. And also, they've got the an NFL draft show on my old stomping grounds, where I started my career out of college and worked for a decade, SiriusXM NFL Radio, which is really awesome. Our guy Eric is killing it. And again, on Twitter, at Eric Eager _. My friend, welcome back to the show. It's your people, Nick and Ken. How's it going?
You guys are my people. Nick, Ken, it's been a fun ride here, but this is the best week of the football season, right, guys? Right? This is the best week.
Yeah. Well, I think it depends on how the bets go. Is it the best week or is it the worst week? Some years I'd say it's the best. Some years not so much. Recently it's been the best. Recently it's been really good. I am curious though, Eric, and you know, I know you and Nick have talked a lot kind of off the air, and I've been following you on Twitter and stuff. I think you would agree, and Nick has said this a bunch of times too, there is an odd consensus about how people feel like the top of the draft is going to play out right now, even if you deviate a little bit with the second overall pick, or like when the Vikings go get J.J. McCarthy. Like, everyone's kind of thinking the same way. I guess my first question is like, how smart, how informed, how like on the nose do you think this top 10 consensus is right now?
I think it's wild. I think that there are teams that have Oli Fashanu rated higher than Joe Alt. I think that there are teams that have Malik Nabers rated higher than Jamar Chase, just the same way that there were teams that had Jalen Waddle, or sorry, not Jamar Chase. Ahead of Marvin Harrison. Trying to make a point. Jalen Waddle, teams had Jalen Waddle ahead of Jamar Chase that draft. We were just lucky that the Bengals picked fifth and not the Dolphins, right? So there's a lot less consensus than we want to believe. Even if you go to like the eighth pick with Atlanta, Dallas Turner seems to make sense, right? Because when Raheem Morris ran the defense for the Rams, they had Michael Hoyt dropping into coverage. They had all their edge players dropping into coverage. Dallas Turner dropped into coverage 91 times last year, where the other guys, Laitu and Verse, just 21 times each. So that would seem to make sense, but these teams don't always do what makes sense to us on the outside. So it's a weird draft, and this is the reason why. Like, there are 10 projected offensive linemen to go in round one, about 6 wide receivers to go in round one, another, you know, 4 to 6 quarterbacks. There's only like 4 or 5 positions that are going to be represented. And so the process of picking the first round is not is easy because you can't just match player to position to team. You have to match player to team, which is a lot harder of an exercise.
I asked Adam Chernoff this question, and Ken and I will talk about it in a little bit. So for our listeners and viewers, like, please forgive like the repetitive nature of this, but I feel like it's a really important thing that we should try and figure out ahead of Thursday's NFL draft, right? If everybody is saying, because everyone was first saying it's going to be Jaden Daniels going second to Washington, including some really informed guests on our show, but if everyone, all the insiders, are going to keep trumpeting that no one knows what Washington is going to do. Like, we think they're going to take a quarterback, right? I think that's, like, the one thing that we do know. Washington will take a quarterback at number two, or maybe not. But I think, like, we all feel reasonably confident that that will be the case, that the Commanders take a quarterback. If we have no idea what they're going to do, no idea which quarterback they prefer, Daniels, May, even potentially J.J. McCarthy, could you see this getting really nuts at number two overall when the Washington Commanders, Eric, come onto the clock? And by nuts, I literally mean, like, could they take J.J. McCarthy? Like, how nuts do you think this could get?
Yes, there is a significant Michigan contingent in the NFL. And if you know anything about Michigan people, they stick together. And I'm not saying that, yeah, there is a chance. And I think 12-1 is probably, if you look at the board there, there's no way, to your point, there's no way I'm laying the 275 on Daniels. May at plus 240 makes some sense, but McCarthy at 12-1 makes some sense. And then once that happens, then there's question marks, right? Because I think May is kind of what the Patriots, if they stick in that third spot, want, because the big physical guy kind of playing in the cold weather, all that stuff makes sense. But then the Vikings probably want him too. So are they going to go up and make the Godfather offer? And then now all of a sudden you're at pick four, and now there are questions about, there are Aaron Rodgers questions about Jaden Daniels. Why is he falling? And then that starts to turn into he's now at eight. Now he's at 10. Now he gets to the Broncos at 12. Well, they need a quarterback, but can they support him? Then he gets to Vegas. Like, there are going to be significant issues if McCarthy goes at two. Again, the draft is a very interesting exercise where what the teams do, their revealed preferences, elicit cascading things that, and it's why we've seen a quarterback fall basically every single draft for the past like 5 years.
Eric, we had some reporting earlier today. I think it was Diana Rossini reported that like the Patriots are fielding offers now for the third overall pick, and like Jonathan Kraft, who's now like, you know, in the front office, obviously still, like, he's like spearheading this, and Gerard Mayo, and everybody's like, Elliot Wolf, who's their general manager. Like, this is something that, like, I think people that were not in the Patriots building were talking about, like, oh, are they going to trade? And everybody's kind of like, nah, I think they're like, maybe take a quarterback, but maybe. And then we actually had some confirmed reporting earlier that, like, they're fielding calls. This can obviously mean a lot of different things. Like, they just want people to think they're fielding calls. And then, you know, we never know what the implications are. How confident are you that the Patriots would stay at three in any of the permutations that you just laid out?
I think at the end of the day, the Patriots are going to trade the third pick. I think that, so all you need is one really good offer. And if you're Minnesota and you've started your GM, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, head coach Kevin O'Connell, you started the same time as Ryan Poles. You started a year after Detroit. Detroit rebuilt, Chicago rebuilt. You decided to have a competitive rebuild. And during those 2 years of your competitive rebuild, Detroit and Green Bay won three more playoff games combined than you did. So that was a failure, the competitive part. Now you're stuck, and Sam Darnold is your quarterback, and the Packers are better than you, the Lions are better than you, and the Bears, the moment they draft Caleb Williams, are better than you. You need a quarterback. And I'm sorry, but if you come out of this thing with the fourth best quarterback in the draft, you're going to try to convince your fan base that, oh, for the last 2 years, we kind of played halfway-sies with rebuilding, and now we have J.J. McCarthy. Get out of here. I think that it's going to be 11, 23, and next year's one, probably a little bit more. And again, as I tweeted out today, those throw the draft charts out the window. It's like going to a restaurant for the top three picks, and it's like ordering the seafood, and it says market. That third pick is market, whatever the Patriots can get for it. And I think that the Patriots are going to hold the Vikings' feet to the fire. They're going to have the Broncos' feet to the fire. They're going to have the Raiders' feet to the fire. They're going to have Knicks' Giants' feet to the fire. And they're going to, and I think that at the very least, the Vikings are going to outbid they're going to try to outbid everybody. And the minimum offer that the Vikings give, whether or not a team comes over the top of it, is going to be enough to satisfy the Patriots to trade that pick.
That was like on my honeymoon when like my wife would order the in Greece, like the market seafood. And as a result, I had a lot less money than I did before I went on my honeymoon. But it was a good time.
How much is the lobster? Good. Don't ask.
And I said to my wife, and she said, what about the lobster? I said, have you considered the chicken? You bet with Nick and Ken. Eric Eager is our guest from Sumer Sports. I thought that was a great answer, Eric, on the Patriots, what they might do with the third overall pick. Maybe going to trade out. Maybe it's the Minnesota Vikings. So when we talk about the top four quarterbacks, and I guess like Caleb Williams is excluded, he's going to go one, but just this, we'll call it the top four. Do you think one of those four quarterbacks will fall in the draft? And maybe that's like 12, 13, maybe a little later. So will one of the consensus top four fall? And if so, who is it most likely to be and why?
So we're talking out of both sides of our mouth here, because McCarthy at one side is 12-1 to be second pick, which is, I think, a decent wager. And then I also think he could fall completely out of the top 10.
So not Daniels. I thought you were going to say Daniels. I thought Daniels was going to be your answer.
I think McCarthy's the most likely one to fall. I think Daniels is the interestingly, Daniels is the most likely player to go second, but he's also the second most likely player to fall. I think May doesn't make it past three. I think there's too much of the size and the sort of athleticism and kind of like the prototype quarterback the teams are looking for. I think May is a top three pick. I think that Daniels, there are some question marks about him where it much like Mac Jones in 2021, where if Mac Jones, you know, Circa had him at open over under at 3.5, right? You know, all the other books had him at 3.5, but then he fell to 15. Like Mac Jones had a couple outs where he could go in the top 10. And if those didn't materialize, he was going at 15. Dwayne Haskins was a very similar one. He went at 15 to Washington. And I think that Daniels is more like that than a guy like May, a guy like Williams. I think May and Williams fit any scheme. I think Daniels and McCarthy are a little bit more, you kind of have to imagine a little bit them working out at the NFL level, in which case, if the one particular team player fit doesn't happen in the top five picks, it could slide for a while.
You think Michael Penix Jr. is going to get drafted in the first round?
No, I don't think Knicks and Penix go in round one. I think that the history of the league, here's the reason why, guys. So the fifth-year option is the reason why we got Bridgewater at 32 and Lamar Jackson at 32. But that was the last CBA. That was prior to 2020. Jordan Love at 26, I believe. Teams trading back in the first round. Teams have not traded back into the first round since they redid the CBA in 2020 because the fifth-year option is way more expensive now. You know, Jordan Love started one game and his fifth-year option was like over $20 million. However, it's position specific. So, for example, the fifth-year option for a tackle who hasn't done that well, for example, Jedrick Wills last year was $11 million. Now, tackle matures more slowly. There are going to be teams that see value in trading back into the first round for a tackle, not for quarterback, because that fifth-year option is going to have more surplus value should you hit on the tackle. And so I see it also falling off a little bit more, whereas if you don't get Bo Nix or Michael Penix, you can kind of go with Spencer Rattler. You can kind of squint to Austin Reed and a little bit more of those kind of backup quarterbacks. Tackle, that's a position if you don't get it in round one, good luck. So I think you're going to see more teams trade into the 20s to take the offensive lineman they like because of the math of the salary in that fifth-year option, which is what they were doing at quarterback prior to 2020. I think you see that for O-linemen. Wide receiver, the under on wide receivers and the under on quarterbacks is the beneficiary of that.
I think that is like awesome analysis from Eric on like the NFL salary cap and fifth-year options. I'm not great with that stuff, so that was really good from Eric. Eric, final question here. In about 30 seconds, earlier today, the Denver Broncos traded for Zach Wilson. Out of Zach Wilson, Jarrett Stidham, unnamed rookie, who is the most likely to start the most games for the Denver Broncos this season? 30 to 45 seconds for the answer to close.
I think Zach Wilson will start. Remember, Drew Brees was once benched in San Diego for Doug Flutie, and was only left San Diego for Sean Payton's New Orleans Saints because the San Diego Chargers drafted Phillip Rivers to replace him. He was a wounded animal that went to New Orleans. I think that there's a heart for that for Sean Payton. So I do think Zach Wilson's going to get an opportunity there, whether he deserves it or not.
So, but Zach Wilson starting week one for the Broncos, yes or no, right now? Pencil, not pen, 10 seconds.
Minus 150, yes.
Oh, man, if you're a Broncos fan, you want to jump off a bridge. Eric, we love having you on. Broncos country, let's ride, like right into a wall. On Twitter, at Eric Eager, underscore Schumer Sports. My friend, we appreciate it. Enjoy draft week. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, fellas. Have a good week.
Eric Eager joining us here on the show. Zach Wilson, minus 150 to start for the Denver Broncos in week one, per our guy Eric Eager. Pencil, not pen.
I just didn't want to believe it. Yeah, the guy just didn't want to believe it, but he's probably right.
I tried to tell you. I'm telling you. So Sean Payton looks and sees, like, I can fix this guy. We'll see how it goes. On the other side, Ken and I talk some NFL draft. If things are going to go haywire, how's it going to happen?
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.
First down and 10 of the 45. Play action. J.J. McCarthy lobs it wide open. Caught at the 10. 5. Touchdown, Colston Loveland. 45 yards. And Michigan reclaims the lead.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
Gus Johnson on the call this past college football season on Fox. Before we get to our thoughts on the draft and J.J. McCarthy, did you see the video of Jim Harbaugh getting the 15-0 tattoo on his arm with the Michigan logo underneath? Very funny. It's got this look on his face as it's being finished. Like, this is my interpretation of it. I can't believe I'm doing this because I promised I would if we went undefeated. I can't believe this is actually happening. And B, wow, like, this really hurts. That's my interpretation of Harbaugh's face as it's getting done. So it's very funny for people that haven't seen the video. It's like all over social media. Drew Dinsick, the Whale Capper, joins us next hour. NFL draft and NBA playoffs with the Whale. And Ken and I will get back to the NBA postseason next hour on the show, run through all the series, more big picture thoughts on how to bet the NBA postseason and who's going to win the NBA championship. But let's do some NFL draft here off back-to-back outstanding interviews with Adam Chernoff and Eric Eager. And Ken, the theme of those interviews, or a lot of it, was kind of, if we aren't sure what Washington's going to do, then doesn't this have the opportunity to get a little nuts, right? And just like, how nuts could it get? And both Adam and Eric more so than Adam, but yeah, like, J.J. McCarthy could easily be the second pick. We don't know who Washington's going to take. We know it's going to be a quarterback. At least it would be really shocking if they took, like, Marvin Harrison. So we think it's going to be a quarterback, right? They traded Sam Howell. Why does it have to be Daniels or Drake May? Why can't it be J.J. McCarthy if we know nothing? And Kana, what's the domino effect from there? So Ken, anything said by our guests, or anything that you and I have talked about today on or off air, that makes you want to do anything, or anything that you find interesting about betting the NFL draft a couple days away?
Yeah, I mean, I think the second overall pick is definitely interesting. You know, if you played out this draft 12 times with the information you knew right now, would McCarthy go one time? Because we don't know anything. Would it happen once? And it's tough to think probabilistically that way when it's like, they're going to decide, they're going to make a pick. We're not like playing a baseball game or something where both teams are going to win sometimes. But maybe he would go once with as little information as we have. Because it's really, it kind of comes down to this too, right? Like, there's two kinds of steam or two kinds of movement in a market, like the NFL draft, right? You have like the movement that's driven by like publicly available, like Adam Schefter tweets or something, right? So this is like all in the lead up to the draft. Last week, a month ago, today, tomorrow, Wednesday, like, and it's stuff everybody
tomorrow
sees. Yeah, depending on when you're listening to this, draft day. And so you have like, okay, well, like, this reporter said this, so this market moved. And maybe that's reflective of what the team is going to do. Or maybe it's not. And there's plenty of examples historically of both, to be honest, and there including plenty of examples where the reporting was incorrect, and where the reporter was misled, or where the team wanted everybody to think one thing because they were going to do another thing. Also, there's been examples of teams that were really straightforward with what they were going to do. I mean, you talked about like how the Giants used to operate, and that they used to just be like, "Yeah, we're taking this guy, like love him." It's like, oh, okay, and that would get bet too, right? And then there's like the steam, the day of the draft leading up to the draft, which is much different, which is like kind of the alarm goes off. And the pick is due, and it's time, and then we actually know who's going to get picked, and that starts getting bad. And this happened last year with CJ Stroud with the second overall pick market, where we're sitting there all afternoon. And I'll tell the story a couple more times this week because there is a difference. Like, there's a difference between the tweet that you see from some whatever betting company today being like, odds on number two, eyeball emoji. And it's like, yeah, man, it's Monday. Like, I'm good. I'm good on whatever the eyeball emoji is. No, like, this isn't smart, whatever it is. And there's a difference between that and at like 6:05 p.m. Eastern time on draft day last year when CJ Stroud went from -120 to -5,000. Like, there's a difference between those two things. It's like one of them was, well, Schefter said that. And the other one is like, it's CJ Stroud. Like, there's a difference between those two things. So I just would remind people, like, basically everything up to Thursday afternoon, to a certain extent, I'm gonna view really speculatively or really pessimist, not pessim skeptically, would be the right way to look at it. We're like, could be it, or not, or not at all. And just because we have so many examples, and we could even tell some other stories about last year if we want to, we thought it was gonna be this, then it was this, where we're, you just don't know. Until you know, and we're not gonna know until like Thursday when we get off the air, where we can be like, hey, you know, this just went to like -50,000. I think Drake May is gonna be the second overall pick because like we're out of time and people are trying to bet this. So I think just again would draw people's attention to big difference between we're there, it's the day of the draft, it's about to happen, this is getting bet hard. There's a difference between that and like Mel Kiper's latest mock has the Falcons taking Dallas Turner. Like a big difference between the line movement attached to those two things.
We need Tony Schiavone. Like, be like, oh, sorry, everybody, ladies and gentlemen,
We're
we're
out
out
of
of
time.
time. That's, and the story, look, we'll
All
tell the
new Robin
story, I'm
Hood
sure,
coming up
also.
next. We gotta go.
I watched that whole series premiere of Robin Hood to get little snippets of Hogan versus the Giant because I was a huge nerd, still am. Last year, Will Levis was the favorite to be the number two choice at points during the week. He didn't even go in the first round, which again is like, that doesn't mean that like Jaden Daniels is not going in the first round or Drake May's not going in the first round. And I'll offer this up also, and I think you agree with me. We've been doing the show now. This is our, what, fifth NFL draft that we've done? 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, our fifth NFL draft. And I've been doing this for a long time. Like, worked for NFL radio, like, right out of college, was, like, in the NFL world, like, ensconced in that world for a long time. I feel like the last couple years have been a little different. And people have been tweeting this, people that do sports betting content that I think are pretty smart. You know, Eagers tweeted this. I think, like, Cleve TA, who's been on the show, has tweeted this also. That the thought is that, you know, like, the NFL has kind of, like, cracked down on teams because of gambling concerning the NFL draft. And information is not as good now. Now, whether that's true or not, my personal experience is the information that I feel like I've gotten the last couple of years has either been like not great in the case of last year. It was good in a couple instances. People were convinced something was going to happen and then it didn't, or just feels to me like it's not as sturdy. That's just kind of how I feel the last couple of years. And if that's true, I keep coming back to this conclusion. I think things have the opportunity to get really nuts. And maybe that happens on Thursday night. I think it's probable to happen on Thursday night. We'll get into that in a second, but you know, just talking about last year and the Thursday show we did last year as CJ Stroud just kept getting bet into oblivion to be the second overall pick. Rank the rush compared to like other betting rushes. Like Thursday NFL draft show when like we start to find out via the betting market what's actually going to happen.
Well, the crazy part was it took so long last year. That's a big difference. And you know, we the tra which draft was Trey Lance? Was that 21?
21. Yep.
So the 21
Everyone was
draft.
convinced they were t everyone was convinced they were taking Mac Jones. We reported right before we went off the air that they were taking Trey Lance.
And compare that to the Monday of that draft week. I don't remember what Mac Jones was to be the third overall pick. So, maybe he was minus a lot. He was definitely a favorite. We wouldn't have even talked about that pick on the show on Monday of draft week. And then look at how things transpired from then until the day of the draft. Now, to be fair, that information got out the night before. I remember being awake when it started getting bet, and then a couple really prominent people in the space kind of tweeted about it, that they had bet it very aggressively, and it really took off in the morning when everybody woke up to whoa, what just happened in this market for the third overall pick. But that was overnight Wednesday night. And then some of the other stuff that we bet that year, the year before, the year after, it felt like we got it sooner. Like we got it a day before, 12 hours before, that morning at least, something like that. And we have gotten some great information where you wish you were at a different point in your, if I had the liquidity I had now 3 years ago when we got no, Aiden Hutchinson's signed the contract. He's going second. And he was minus 120 and everybody was betting Thibodeau. I was like, well, I wish I wasn't like, I wish I was like I am now, way, way richer, so that I could take advantage of that information better than just this is what I can bet and that's what it is and it's great. But I yearn for that kind of information now with what's at my disposal. It's we just but we didn't last year. We just didn't get it, and we didn't. Stroud didn't even get bet really hard until I don't know. We got off the air at 7,
6:30,
6:15. Yeah,
six
I just
thirty
something
even.
like that. I mean, I have the multi-way up at a couple places that allow rebets, especially. That's always going to be a good sign because think about it, you have the information. And look, if you really know how to do this, then you're going to have the path that you want to navigate to bet this stuff. You're going to try to bet it as often as possible at the places that aren't on the screen, right? Like apps that people don't have access to and locals, and you're going to try to hit it there everywhere first before you hit the screen, before you can hit the places that everybody can see, because once everybody sees it, it's game over and they're gonna bet it. So there's a way to navigate it if you really worked at it. But even if you weren't that good at it, maybe you're like Jontay Porter or something, and you're just like, look, I know this and I just want to go bet it. Had the multiways up, Stroud didn't change until an hour before the draft. And then there was just you could just tell the board had been so quiet. Like second overall pick, Stroud was a really small favorite, but it was kind of going back and forth with him and Levis. Richardson was the favorite to be the third overall pick for a little bit, but then Levis ended up the day of the draft being the favorite. Richardson was the favorite to be the fourth overall pick. Then it was kind of Levis. You didn't really know, but nothing was getting bet. It wasn't like there was disagreement. There was just no one interested. There wasn't disagreement. There was just nothing. And no, lights weren't flashing, nothing going off on the screen. And then at 6:15, it's just like, I remember typing in the chat and we were doing the segment and I was like, hey, Stroud just went minus 120 to 180 and he hadn't done that the whole day. I was like, well, now it's 240 and the domestics won't move that fast. And I was like, well, now it's 280. And I was like, we got to a break and it's red alert time for everybody. Basically, seek out all of your domestic sports books and start jamming, because this doesn't happen unless it's like there's no head fake on this kind of. There's not enough time to the draft to try to head fake the market like this. Be like, let's make everyone think it's Stroud, and then at 59 we'll come in on this. Like it just it's not it's the it's too sloppy. You can't make it work like that, unfortunately. And if someone ever could, it'd be really fun to track. So it just it was that was crazy. But that was an hour before. So it's Monday. We didn't know it was Stroud until an hour before. We didn't know they had traded for Anderson in the third overall pick until an hour before, until less. So let's just keep that in mind when all of this steam is getting tweeted and reported as whoa, who knows something? Maybe nobody yet. Maybe nobody.
Jaden Daniels for on Monday bet out now to minus 375 to go second overall. Drake May now minus 190 to be the third overall pick. We'll do a little more on this to start next hour. The Whale Capper will join us as well, and more on the NBA postseason. Hour three, You Better You Bet Monday coming up next.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQ.